Bring your greetings in the name of Jesus this morning. How many of you this morning are Pharisees? Nobody. I almost greeted all the Pharisees that are here this morning in the name of Jesus. But I wasn't sure how many of you would identify with that. I don't know how many of you remember what last Sunday's Sunday school lesson said in the opening comments. What the term Pharisee or what the name Pharisee actually meant. But it caught my attention because I was thinking about this sermon that I'm going to be preaching this morning. Can anybody tell me what the term Pharisee meant? Separated. Exactly. The term Pharisee meant separated. And it was used to describe those who had separated themselves from the laxness of the law and were holding to the practice of the law. Now granted, they gave that name a bad connotation because of the way they did some things, but that does not mean that the name Pharisee or the term Pharisee is wrong or bad. How many of you are Pharisees this morning? The title of the message is Separated Unto God. I had given it some thought some time ago, and I'm still thinking about it. I'm still planning on doing it, give it some thought of preaching a series of messages on the ordinances that we as a conservative Mennonite church practice. I think it was 2 weeks ago. I was supposed to be here to preach, and plans changed, and I ended up not being here. And Brother Sherwin said he would take my place. And he said he has a message that he'd like to preach on the headship veiling or the Christian woman's veiling. And I told him, that's great, because I was planning on starting a series on the ordinances that Sunday. But as I thought more and more about the ordinances and how we practice them and why we practice them and what they mean, this thought of separation kept rolling around in my mind. And I thought, you know what? We cannot practice the ordinances as we have them as we do in our setting. We cannot practice the ordinances the way God meant them to be practiced unless we are separated unto God. They will not have any meaning. They will not be anything of any value to us unless we allow ourselves to be a called out and separated people. Because that is basically what we're saying by the practice of the ordinances. So I feel a little bit like Jude this morning when he said he gave all diligence to write unto them the common salvation, that he felt it needful. I was planning on starting that series on the ordinances this morning when I found out that I needed to preach, and I thought, no, I need to preach on the separation. You know, separation When we talk about separation, we use that term generally. But it really becomes a fact of life as we realize that there's a difference between the Christian and the non-Christian. There's a vast difference between the Christian and the non-Christian. There's a difference in goal, there's a difference in practice, there's a difference in vision. The Bible tells us that the non-Christian, the individual that has not accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord, is doomed for hell. And the individual that has allowed the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the salvation of the blood of Jesus Christ to be a part of their life is on their way to heaven. The two cannot mix. The Christian cannot be traveling toward heaven and following the things of the world which lead to hell. It cannot be done. The problem with separation that we experience today is because too many times the things that we see around us and the things that we hear become the norm. Instead of viewing them as sin and wrong, they become the norm and we begin to accept them. And we accept them in our own lives because they become normal. And we'll get into that a little bit more as we get into the practical side of this lesson. But for a few scriptural bases for this lesson, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 14. We need to recognize that the God of the world and the God of the Christian are opposed to each other. Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 15. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Jesus refers to this happening when he says he saw Lucifer fall as lightning from heaven. Brothers and sisters, this morning the animosity, or the enmity, I should say, between God and Satan began when Satan decided he's going to be like the Most High. He's going to set himself up. He's going to ascend above the stars of God. He's going to make himself a position. Pride. And in heaven, that can't be tolerated because God is a holy, righteous, almighty God. And he had to cast Satan out of heaven. And all those angels that supported him were cast out as well. Satan is the prince and the power of the air, as the Bible refers to him. He is the God of this world that tells the world what to do. He is the one that suggests the sin and the evil, and is the author of the temptations that we all have to do with. And there's enmity between him and God, and there always will be. And we know that God is going to have the ultimate victory. So the servants of God and the servants of Satan cannot be traveling on the same path. There needs to be a separation. There needs to be a division. Just like there was a division between God and Satan, there needs to be a division between their followers. If there is not, the question is, who are we following? God requires holiness and purity. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 33. And we're familiar with this scripture. It's nothing new. It's Moses talking to the children of Israel before they enter into the land of Canaan. I'd like to read verses 50 through 56 of Numbers chapter 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pictures, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land, and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. And ye shall divide the land by lot, for an inheritance among your families, and unto the more ye shall give the more inheritance, and to the fewer ye shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth, according to the tribes of your fathers ye shall inherit. But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. We know that God intended for the Israelites, as they entered the land of Canaan, to drive out all the inhabitants there. He says, I want you to break down their high places, pluck them down, he says. I want you to destroy their pictures or their images. I want you to get their molten images or the graven images. I want you to destroy them. I want you to drive out and destroy the inhabitants of the land. And he says, if you don't, the ones that remain are going to be a temptation for you. He says, they're going to be pricks in your eyes. They're going to be thorns in your side. They're going to cause problems for you. And we all know what happened. They were tricked into making a league with some of them. They just didn't totally drive out. They took some of them captive and made them slaves and servants and they didn't do what God said. They didn't totally separate themselves. They only went part of the way. And it caused problems for them. And brothers and sisters, this morning, it's not going to be any different for us if we're not willing to totally separate ourselves and totally drive out those things in our own lives that are going to be a problem for us and have victory over those things that God wants us to have victory over. If we become lax and lazy in our Christian life and say, oh, well, we'll make this a servant for us, what's going to happen? The very same thing that happened to the children of Israel. It's going to lead us astray. It's going to lead us away from God because we haven't totally separated ourselves. And brothers and sisters, that's a lifelong job. It's not something that we're going to do today and it's all done and we're going to have ease the rest of our lives. We're going to be battling with that the rest of our lives. But we need to continue to work at it. And when God brings something to our mind, God brings something to our attention that is becoming an idol or a picture to us, we need to take care of it. And we need to separate it from us so that we can be separated unto God. Could turn to Exodus chapter 32. I'm not going to do that. That's the story of the molten calf. Moses was up on the mountain receiving the word from God. And the people said, we don't know what happened to Moses. He's gone for all this time. They told Aaron, up, get up there, make us a god that we can follow. And they reverted back to the pagan worship of Egypt. And Aaron made the golden calf, and they worshiped it. And the Bible tells us that they made themselves naked before the calf as they worshiped it. And they ate, and they drank, and they sang, and they danced, and Moses and Joshua come down off the mountain. God told them, you get down. You get down, for the people have desecrated themselves. The people have turned away from me. And Moses saw the golden calf, and he threw down the tablets that God had given him, and he marched on in there, and he burnt that calf, and he ground it up, and it says he threw it on the water, and he made the children of Israel to drink of the water. And he said to Aaron, Aaron, what did you do? And he said, well, you know, he had excuses. He had all kinds of excuses, and we didn't know what happened to you, and the people were starting to get anxious, and they said, you know, what happened to Moses? You know, we need something to follow. And I told him, well, okay, you give me your gold, and I threw the gold in the fire, and this calf came out. Well, we all know that that's not what happened. But finally, Moses stands up in the outskirts of the camp, and he calls and says, who is on the Lord's side? Come to me. And it says the tribe of Levi is the one that went to Moses. Now, it may be a play on words. But sometimes we hear the phrase, God is on our side. And I question that. Like I said, it may be a play on words, but we need to make sure that that doesn't become our mentality. That God is on our side. Brothers and sisters, we need to be on God's side. We can't expect God to come to us. We need to go to God and we need to stand with Him. We need to separate ourselves from those who are immoral and impure and dishonest and living in sin. And we need to separate ourselves unto God and say, God, I want to be holy and pure through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what Moses called out to the children of Israel. And that's what God is still calling out to us today. Who is on the Lord's side? Who here this morning will answer that call and step out of the complacency around us and follow the Lord? John chapter 15. Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he reminds them that they are not of this world, but he has chosen them out of the world. He has called them out of the world. And because they are called out of the world, they are not of the world. The world hates them. If you and I are truly called out of the world and we have answered the call of Jesus Christ in our lives, we need to expect that the world is not going to love us. So why do we spend so much time trying to gain their favor? Why do we put forth so much effort to be appreciated and to be approved by the people around us who are traveling the opposite direction than what we are? Are we willing to be separated? Are we willing to be called out? Are we willing to step out on the Lord's side and be hated by the world because of what we stand for and what we speak? Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to take the time to read a number of verses here. If you would turn to that, Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read the first 21 verses. I'm not going to make many comments on it. I just want to read these verses to speak to us. Let God's word speak to us this morning. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this we ye know, that no whoremonger, or unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The only comment I want to make on this passage is in verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. What are we fellowshipping with this morning? What are we taking part in? What are we accepting in our lives? What are we willing to allow ourselves to do or to think or to speak, and by that action, what are we reproving? I believe sometimes if I would stop and think a little bit about this verse, before I do something, it might change my decision. It would affect what I do or say, or the choice that I make. By what I'm saying, the way I'm acting, what I'm doing, what I'm purchasing, am I reproving the works of darkness? Is my life a reproof to individuals who are living in sin and darkness, or is my life a justification for them? Getting to the practical side a little bit. If we're separated unto God, and our lives are different than the world, and we're willing to be subject to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, then we're going to be separated unto God in spiritual desire and commitment. Outside of Jesus Christ, an individual is lost and condemned. And many times, there are some out there who are searching. There are some out there who are looking, who know there's something missing in their lives, and they know that the world can never satisfy it. And there are those that have questions, and they're searching. But many times their desire, they have no spiritual desire. They have no desire to know spiritual things. Their only desire and commitment is to themselves and what they can gain, what they can. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. I'll tear down my barns, I'll build greater, and then I can sit back and I can say, soul, you've got it made. That is the goal of the non-Christian today. Brothers and sisters, what's our goal? Is our goal to gain spiritually? Is our goal to become rich spiritually? Is our goal to become a, may I use the term, fat soul? The desire to know the truth and to live by it, that will separate us from the world, brothers and sisters. And we need to keep the end goal and eternity in view. We as Christians should or don't live for the here and now. Should not or don't. We should not live for the here and now. The question to you is, do you or don't you? We have eternity in view. Life doesn't end when we die. There is an eternity that we're going to spend somewhere. We talked earlier in the message about heaven and hell. I don't find in my Bible anywhere in between. We keep that in mind as we go through life. The individual that is outside of God doesn't want to think about eternity. They live for the here and now and what they can get out of it, and the pleasures and the joys and the acclaim that they can get. That's their life. And as I said earlier, what we see around us sometimes becomes the norm for us. And that is one of the inroads that I think is being made on our lives today. We see individuals around us living for the here and now, accumulating and building and whatever all else goes with it. And it becomes the norm. And we have the means to do it, so we do it too. Another area where we're separated unto God is our thought life and our attitudes. A pure thought life. What are you thinking about? Inside here, what's going on? What do you meditate on when you have a quiet moment? What's going through your mind? Selfish thoughts, lustful thoughts, pride. Are you living in a fantasy world where in your mind you've built yourself a little place that you can go to and escape from reality of life? Or are you separated unto God in your thought life? Your attitudes. I don't think there's anybody here this morning that would sue somebody to get even with somebody. You did me wrong, so I'm going to take you to court and I'm going to take you for everything you've got because you did me wrong. But that attitude in our lives, that thought pattern in our lives can come out in so many different ways. You did me wrong, so I'm just going to turn the cold shoulder. I'm going to let you know how I feel by not being really friendly to you. I'm going to let you know that I was hurt by just kind of holding you at arm's length and saying, I don't really want to interact with you anymore. Our attitudes come out in so many different ways. And I want to remind you, brothers and sisters, that that type of response to a wrong attitude in our lives is not any better than taking that, than the other individual that would take that individual to court and sue them for everything they've got. It's retaliatory. You are going to portray to that individual the hurt that you feel, and you are going to make sure that they know it, and you're going to make them feel some hurt too. If you're truly separated unto God, you're going to forgive. And that's not to say that that incident will never come to your mind again. But you are going to forgive, and you're going to forgive again. And you're going to love that individual. Because you're going to realize that that individual has a soul that is going to spend eternity somewhere. And that individual needs Jesus Christ, needs forgiveness. You're going to pray for that individual. Attitudes of retaliation can never be a part of the Christian. And that's only one example. We're separated unto God in our friendships and relationships. Everybody knows that we should not be friend of the world. What does that mean? Does that mean that we're not friendly to our neighbors? Does that mean that the man down the street that is an alcoholic or is addicted to drugs or whatever all else may go along, he's living an immoral life, we can paint a drastic picture. Does that mean that we go around the block to avoid driving past his place, or when we drive by and he's outside, we don't wave, or we never talk to him? Brothers and sisters, this morning, that's not what it means. It doesn't mean that we are unfriendly to those individuals, but what it means is that we don't have them as a close friend and confidant and guide and counsel in our lives. Because there's a separation. They're going one direction, we're going another. We need to be open and friendly enough with them in order to help them to change their direction and to become separated unto God. But we may not be that friendly with them that they have an influence on our lives and get us to turn our direction into theirs. We need to be separated unto God in our friends and in our friendships and relationships by not having friends or using people as the world does. The world has friends and uses people to their own advantage. The Christian has friends and helps people for their advantage, not my own. Oh, we receive some benefits. I count Brother Dave as my friend. And I'm thankful I have him as my friend because I receive some benefits from that friendship. Brother Dave has been a sounding board for me. He's been a help to me. He's been a guide to me. But my friendship with Dave should not be just for everything that I can get out of him. My friendship with Brother Dave should be what I can help him, what I can do for him. And when he's down and the luck is, and his circumstances are bad, I should be there to help. The story of the prodigal son comes to my mind right now. When he had money, he had lots of friends, but when the money was gone, there was nobody there to help him anymore. That's how the world views friendship. Brothers and sisters, you and I should view friendship as when an individual is down, that's when we're there. But too many times we don't want to associate with those who are down or those who we think are less blessed than we are because it could tarnish our name. Shame on us. We're separated to God. We don't treat people the way the world does. We see somebody who's less fortunate than we are, that's the person that we ought to go to and be a friend to. Are we truly separated unto God in our lives? Child training and family life. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but it is one area, brothers and sisters, where I think the norm that we see around us of the world has been making inroads into our Christian families and homes. You love a child and you praise him when he does good and you just ignore him when he's bad and he'll do good because that's when he gets attention. Brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us that foolishness is bound up in the heart of the wicked, in the heart of a child, excuse me. But the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Do we believe that there's a proper way to punish children? Do we believe that there's a proper way to spank them that is not abuse? Do we believe that there's a proper way to correct and direct children that will not create emotional problems for them? The Bible tells us there is. The Bible tells us that a father that loves his son will correct him. If we love our children, if we are separated unto God and we understand the value of a child, and we understand that that child is given to us by God to mold and to shape and to direct into a spiritual Christian person, then we will understand that God has given us a responsibility to correct and reprove and chasten that child. And we'll do it in a way that is scriptural and biblical. We'll not do it out of anger. We'll not do it out of frustration. And yes, you who are parents, know that you can get very frustrated sometimes. And we have the tendency to blow up too. But brothers and sisters, we have the Spirit of God within us that helps us to control ourselves and to do the right thing. What about purity in our homes? Dress code. What about the family bed? Brothers and sisters, I hope that these things aren't becoming the norm for us, but that we are realizing that there is a sanctity and a purity that needs to be maintained in our homes. There's a dress code that needs to be maintained in our homes. Just because we're within the four walls of our house doesn't mean that we can walk around however we feel like. There's certain rooms in our houses that are private, and there's certain rooms in our houses that are public. And we need to treat them as such. What about touch? And I realize that there are some families that are more touching than others are. There's some families that a hug or even a kiss may be something that is accepted. But again, brothers and sisters, I think we need to be careful as our children grow older. There's a line where we don't hold them and cuddle them anymore like a little baby, but they become individuals and adults of their own, and they have a sanctity and a purity that needs to be guarded. And they need to realize that not just anything goes. There again, that's something in the world that is becoming the norm, and I'm afraid is making some inroads into our homes today. Our possessions and our dress. Are we separated unto God in those things? What about the houses and the properties? Whose standards are we following? Does the chandelier and the plush carpet and the fancy furniture bring more love into the home? I think you get my point. I had a whole list here, and I'm not going to go into it because I want God to speak to you. What should our homes be filled with? Love and laughter, or things? Time spent with children, or time spent taking care of all the extras that need to be in the home in order to make a good impression? Our cars and our trucks. And I'm going to get blunt here. I'm going to ask some questions, and I want you to think about them. I want you to answer them between you and God, honestly. But do the dark tinted windows make that car more reliable? Do the smoked headlights make it more fuel efficient? Does the loud muffler make that vehicle last longer? Do the extra lights bring more honor and glory to God? Who are we following? Whose standard are we following? By the style of vehicle that we drive? Whose suggestion are we taking? Are we separated unto God in these things, brothers and sisters? Our dress, the designer name, the hoodies where the hood is never used, the ruffles and the frills, what are they saying about us? Are they saying that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ? Or are they saying that I'm concerned about the styles and the fashions around me and what statement I can make? Dollar for dollar, I am convinced that a designer name shirt doesn't last any longer than what a cheaper shirt does. Or pants, for that matter, or jackets. I guess I should look at both sides of the house when I say this, but I'm concerned about this hoodie fashion that is becoming the norm for us today. Who are we following? Who are we separating ourselves to? Is that of God? Especially when they're just hanging down the back all the time and we're not even using them. Second Corinthians chapter 6. Need to bring this to a close. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Brothers and sisters, that is the blessing of separation. We can be called the sons and daughters of God. We can be received by God the Father. He will be a father to us. And we can be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, our brother. Are we separated unto God this morning? Does our life portray the fact that we are God's people? Or are there some residents and some idols that we need to drive out yet, lest they become pricks in our eyes and thorns in our side?